Well, we have been talking about this for quite some time. State and territory leaders calling on the Prime Minister to scrap GST funding arrangements that favour Western Australia. That is despite Prime Minister Anthony Albanese ruling out any changes. The GST debate has really ignited after an interim report from the Productivity Commission called the current system a costly mistake, drawing a barrage of criticism from both sides of politics, led by West Australian Premier Roger Cook. Economist Dr. Angela Jackson is a familiar voice on Radio National. She is a commissioner at the Productivity Commission. She co-authored this GST distribution reforms interim report. Dr. Angela Jackson, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Oh, look, thank you very much for having me this morning, Luke.
So remind us, what exactly was the Productivity Commission tasked to do in preparing this report?
Yeah, so it's a good question, Luke. We were tasked through the 2018 legislation, which introduced the reforms, to undertake a review of those reforms by the end of this year to look at whether or not they were meeting their intent, whether or not they were working efficiently or effectively. Now, these reforms fundamentally changed the way in which the Commonwealth Government distributes GST revenue to the states and territories, introduced a floor in those arrangements to guarantee that all states would receive at least 0.75 relativity compared to other states, introduced a standard state benchmark so that no state could fall below the share received by the fiscally stronger of New South Wales or Victoria, and also topped up the pool of GST distributed to the states to ensure, or to try to ensure, didn't quite succeed, that no state would be worse off as a result of these reforms. Now, we found that, in fact, the only state that is better off from these reforms has been Western Australia, to the tune of around $23 billion in the first 6 years of operation, and that other states would have, in fact, been worse off had it not been for the No Worse Off guarantee, which is currently costing the Commonwealth Government and Commonwealth Government taxpayers around $6 to $7 billion a year.
So that is why you've described this as such a costly mistake in your report. In the process of writing this report, you did talk to state treasurers, about what was happening. But I wonder if you heard reactions like this, because here's what the WA Premier Roger Cook said about your interim recommendations last month.
It's a sign that these East Coast clowns simply do not understand Western Australia. The changes they have proposed will rip up to $6 billion out of the Western Australian economy.
Dr. Angela Jackson, what do you make of those comments? Were they helpful?
Look, I think, and we really do want to draw a distinction here. We are used to public debate. In fact, we welcome it at the Productivity Commission. It's why we have interim reports. It's to draw comments and reflections on our work and criticism of our work. It makes our work stronger. And we are aiming, of course, to inform public policy debate, which can often get heated. Our view is that a line was crossed in terms of the nature of those comments from the Western Australian Premier last month. You didn't run those comments, but he also called the report deceitful.
And have you communicated that to him, to his office?
We will be today meeting with the Western Australian Treasurer, who's coming to meet with us in Melbourne, and we will be conveying that message quite clearly. We welcome debate and we welcome criticism of our work and our report more broadly, because it makes our work stronger, and that's the process that we will be going through. But to undermine and, I guess, attack our integrity, I think, is an additional bridge too far, and I think something that more broadly we are seeing in public debate internationally, and we want to call this out as being unacceptable, as a result. But that said, when doing that, we welcome ongoing dialogue with Western Australia. I'd also just like to say the report itself deals extensively with a number of the issues that Western Australia raises in its submission and has raised historically with the system of horizontal fiscal equalisation, or the GST distribution system, particularly around the way in which mining revenue is treated under the current system. And in fact, our primary recommendation is that in returning to the pre-2018 system, we directly address those issues. I guess our main finding really is that in trying to address those issues with the 2018 reforms, we have gone too far and in fact haven't really addressed the core issues in terms of the way in which mining is treated in the system. So I'd sort of indicate that I think we really have listened and understood what Western Australia has been saying, and that is reflected very much throughout our report.
So you say that the West Australian Premier's response has crossed the line. Have you communicated that to the federal government?
Look, I'm not going to go into sort of discussions that we have or not. I mean, the other things that obviously have occurred this week also include that we have felt the need to clarify is that the Prime Minister has made comments in Western Australia around, you know, the government's intent or otherwise with respect to the recommendations in the report. We would say that that's disappointing at this point in the process. And the main reason for that is, you know, we do now go out and consult on our interim recommendations. We'll take further evidence. We'll take submissions. That's a very important part of our process. We often refine our recommendations. We may well change our recommendations in some instances, depending on the feedback we receive. It's important for us to indicate that that process will not be influenced by the Prime Minister's comments, that we are above politics, and that's a very important position that we hold within the public policy landscape in Australia. So that is, you know, effectively why we've been out this week just indicating, look, we are independent. Yes, the PM, of course, is always free to say what he will. There's no issue with that, but that won't impact our processes. He did also, of course, call us economic rationalists this week. I would say that, yes, we are economists. I've, you know, hold a PhD in economics, as does my colleague, Dr. Alex Robson, who's also worked on this report. We are rational most days of the week anyway, maybe not Monday mornings, but most days of the week. So we are definitely economic rationalists. Wear that with a badge of honour. Younger colleagues at the PC, when we were discussing this yesterday, had to ask for sort of some clarification on what the term meant. So I think for those of us born after the year 2000 listening today, it very much harked back to the sort of 1990s sort of economic debate, a bit of a retro term. But look, the extent to which economic rationalism returns in Australia, I think, would be welcomed by most people at the Commission.
Good to point out. But you are saying there that you are disappointed with the Prime Minister's response to this interim report. Luke Sydenham-Dundon with you on Radio National Breakfast in the chair for Sally Sarah this morning. You are hearing from the Productivity Commissioner, Dr. Angela Jackson. This is something we've been talking about on the program for quite some time. Yesterday, Sally Sarah spoke with the West Australian MP and Resources Minister, Madeleine King. Here's what she had to say.
I don't actually quite agree that it has gone through it as methodically as it might have. When you look through the report, you'll notice there's zero reference to suggestions made by the WA government, and this is the government representing the population that will be the most widely affected by any changes.
Resources Minister Madeleine King on Radio National Breakfast yesterday. Firstly, have you been methodical in your approach?
So I think one thing I will say is, and this maybe does, you know, go from where we have been in the past as an organisation, we are trying to make our reports more readable. Now, you will remember there was a time when the Productivity Commission produced 300-400-page reports and perhaps went through each submission in great detail from lots of different angles. We have taken a new approach where we try and make our reports more readable and more accessible for the broader Australian public. That doesn't mean that the work hasn't gone on. And in fact, if you read the report, I think you will find that we do address most of the major issues that Western Australia raised in their submission. Every issue that has been raised across the states and territories, we haven't explored. That is true. We've had issues raised, for example, from the ACT about the way in which population is measured in the assessments. There are detailed sort of criticisms of the current system, which really do go beyond the scope of our review. But in terms of the primary focus of our review, which is around the distribution of GST, the extent to which it is achieving its primary objective, which is equity between the states, so that the states are in a similar fiscal position to deliver services to their states. The extent to which it's delivering that objective without having a costly impact on efficiency, on the volatility of the system and on fiscal sustainability, we have very clearly gone through the issues raised by the states and their submissions.
Dr. Angela Jackson, big month. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Dr. Angela Jackson there, a commissioner at the Productivity Commission.